You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Fahim Anwar episode. I met Fahim by going to the Comedy Store for many, many years watching comedy. I've always loved watching his sets, as well as Lance's sets. My favorite part of his interview was when he talked about how he was going to be an engineer at Boeing, but he chose to do comedy instead. And I also liked how he talked about how he prepared for his comedy special. So thanks for tuning in, and catch you later. Peace. Welcome to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew and Purple Mattress. Yes. We have a very, very special guest tonight. Please welcome comedian Fahim Anwar.
Guys, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming. God. Oh, what
I'm
a day.
I'm just honored to be a part of that intro.
Thank you.
It was moving.
We do. we do it every week.
Really?
You like it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it unique?
It's just a few notes.
Yeah,
it's I was moved. I want to buy whatever that advertisement was for.
Thank you.
And I think it separates you from a lot of other podcasts.
Seriously? You're being real about that?
I didn't know you could play piano. And it's fun to...
You know, Bob could really play. You've heard
Bob? Are you for real?
You don't know Bob?
No.
Dude, my brother's he's like a savant with
it. Wow. He just hides that from everybody?
I thought he played at the Comedy Store.
No.
You just saw him.
I have never seen him play the piano.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
He never talks about it. It's wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You just brought him up?
Yeah.
You've opened
up. I was at the Comedy Store and I brought him up, yeah.
You've opened for my brother?
Yeah, that was his intro. When I was bringing him up, I go, this next guy, I go, it's very rare I get to bring him up.
Yeah.
He was one of the first like vets at the Comedy Store to really like take me on the road with him and really like nurture. And
Yeah.
I owe a lot to Bobby.
Yeah. You know what? He told me once because you started getting really good at comedy. And I go, how come, what's up with Fahim? How come he's like, can't use him anymore, bro. It's hard following him, bro. I can't do it. It's too hard for me.
He always brings up, he knows the one show. It was an LOL in San Antonio.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Is that film, everything's good?
We're good.
Okay, let's talk about it.
He'll always bring it up. And like, yeah, he's honest. He's not shady about it. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what's great about Bobby is like, he'll just straight up say like, look, it's too hard to follow you. I had to start using someone else. And it
so
makes
he
sense,
likes
though.
Using work. He no, wants but to also, use like bad openers.
Not bad, but I get it though. I understand it. It's twofold. It's one, look, you're headlining. You don't want to do more work than you need to. Like, it's hard enough just being a headliner.
Yeah.
If like you're sweating it every time. Like,
yeah.
And then also, if your feature is that good, they don't need a feature anymore. Let them fly.
Oh.
And give that's for developing a newer comic who needs that stage time.
So
if I'm doing that well, okay, it's time to headline.
Let's go back to the beginning. Like, where are you originally from? Like
Evergreen Hospital. I'm born.
Evergreen Hospital. Yeah, yeah. Like, where is
how early?
But where's
Everett,
Evergreen?
Washington.
Oh, Washington.
Yeah, yeah. So Washington State is where I'm from.
Someone told me that you were like, you almost chose a different career path, like as an engineer or something like that. Is that true?
Not really chose. It was just sort of like my foundation while I tried to do the arts and stand up and everything. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I was 18 when I did stand up for the first time, and I kept on doing stand up over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go to college.
Mm-hmm. What college did you go to?
University of Washington.
Well, that's what's up.
Yeah. Are you a fan?
No, I'm Arizona. I'm a Sun Devil.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Cool.
Rest in peace, Brody. He was a Sun Devil. He was a Sun Devil.
I went to
as well.
The funeral at the comedy store, or the memorial at
I
the
heard
comedy
it was,
store.
I heard it was intense.
It was, yeah.
I mean, as far as a loss, as far as the comic. The comedians and the community, I mean, that was a huge, huge loss, right?
Especially because he was so beloved by everyone, and he was a part of all the scenes.
Yeah.
He touched every, like, he had been a fixture of the comedy scene for so long, and also everyone loved him. The alt kids loved him. The comedy store loved him.
Yeah.
The jocks loved him.
Everyone loved him.
Brody was a part of everyone's lives.
Wow.
And that's a rare feat as a comedian, to be a part of every scene.
So what I heard, didn't he close out the OR like every night?
Yeah, he would do that thing.
So he'd go out like second to last or last comic.
I think it's the last spot in the main room where there's hardly anybody there, but they let you do, it's called the Kinison spot.
Oh, because that's what Sam used to do?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's just kind of free form. It's less precious of a show, and you can see some magical things happen at that hour.
Oh,
and
right.
Brody was built for that time slot.
He loved it.
Yeah.
He was really, really unique. I've been watching, looking up his stuff lately, you know, since that happened as well.
Yeah.
And he had a different style.
For sure.
Like, what was the line? He was like, got it.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Arms crossed, negative energy.
Yeah. And he was a baseball player as well. He was at AOCU where I went to school.
And then he, I think he hurt his elbow.
Yeah.
And I don't think Tommy John surgery was as far along as it is. Like, that type of injury isn't debilitating anymore. People come back from it.
Mm-hmm,
but I think
mm-hmm.
it just happened to Brody too early in time where the technology wasn't there. So,
yeah,
he was a guy who was on a baseball path, and he was very good.
So he was on his way to the major leagues.
Yeah, like all and the people who spoke at the memorial. So like,
he could have been a Dodger or...
Yeah, or like a Yankee,
Yankee
or who knows.
Anyone,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like
so
what a pivot, though,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But thank God for the pivot because, you know, he's touched so many people in a different way.
Yeah. When that happened, like, what was your first thought? Did you reflect on, like, your purpose in life and... Like his purpose and like
I guess I
his contributions
know.
Towards comedy.
Of course, yeah, all of that. And I think part of it is you never know what someone's going through until it's too late and it's sad and you wish you knew and people put up walls and it's hard to know everything about someone.
Yeah, and especially with you guys. You guys are actually like doing your shtick or you're doing your act
or we have to be funny every
you have to
night
be funny and how do you know that what he was really how do you know
no one does you know
so they're alone.
I talked to him a few days before.
Oh, you did?
Like in the parking lot of the comedy store, nothing was really different, and
he was the same.
It's the same thing everyone else says who interacted with him before. It didn't seem that much different than any other, you know, Brody interaction.
He also, didn't he Periscope his sets?
Yeah, he was just very big on social media.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Where he like follow himself.
Because some comedians are very standoffish and like,
yeah.
I mean, majority are kind of like, all right, let me save my material for a special. Brody was just kind of like lived and breathed on the internet as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And his style, it's not about his jokes. It's kind of just each performance of his was a snowflake. So it made sense for him to Periscope it.
Yeah. Have you tried doing that?
No,
okay,
I don't think
that's Brody.
Think,
that was Brody's.
I don't think I'm built for that. I'm not like an internet like, what's up, guys? Blah blah blah.
Because
I would see Brody walking around with a selfie stick.
Yeah,
and be
yeah.
Like, you got it. Just taking a walk, everybody.
Yeah. He was a big guy.
He's a big
as well,
guy.
Right?
Yeah, like 6 foot something.
Yeah. Are you friends with? You know, we've had a lot of comedians here. Like three. This is
the sacred
week.
Chair that I'm sitting in.
Well, yeah. Well, Margaret Cho was in there.
Whoa.
Well, Frank Castillo was here. Shout out to Frank. Frank was here. Are you friends with Frank?
Yeah, I see him at the comedy
store.
Yeah.
Okay. You get along with him?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. We all play video games. Me, Craig, and...
At the store?
No, we don't play at the store. We have a thing called WFE, Worst Fire Team Ever, where we played Destiny. Oh, Eric Griffin played with us,
too. Okay, Yeah, he's a big gamer,
Griffin's
too.
Been here twice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and are you friends with him?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm friends with everybody.
Yeah. He's actually... He has a relationship with Eric as well.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Yeah. No, I mean like as far as video games. That's I didn't mean it. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that, Craig. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. No, I didn't mean it like that. What are you talking about?
It's video games. Come on.
It's video games. So how did you get into comedy?
How did I get in? So I think it's a couple fold. I think growing up, I was really into SNL. I was into The Simpsons, and I was into Conan. You know, like his late night show after The Tonight Show. Those were like three big comedy things for me. And then I think I was when I was 17, we rented Delirious for my birthday. This is like before Netflix, and you do video rentals,
Eddie Murphy,
you know?
Dude.
Yeah. So
that's when he was wearing red or
yeah,
the
red leather jumpsuit.
He was 18, wasn't he?
Something around like 20. Very young. And so I don't think I was really aware of stand up until I saw Delirious.
Yeah.
And I was like 17 at the time. So I didn't grow up on stand up. It wasn't really a part of my life. But then once I saw Delirious, I was like, oh, fuck, this is a thing. And then I wanted to be on SNL. And I was like, how do people get on the show? And it was, they were either improv performers, you know, like Second City.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
UCB, Groundlings, and you got to go to school. Or they were stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
And then I researched both of them.
Yeah.
And then improv, you got to pay money to go to school and everything.
Yeah, but stand-up's
seemed,
free.
Yeah, stand-up, you're just like a ninja or something.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? It's
just
you.
Just do it.
Yeah.
So you start hitting mics
So
up.
I was like, oh, I could do stand-up.
Yeah.
And I don't have to rely on other people. I can just live and die by me.
Yeah.
So I would be responsible for my success or failure, and that was attractive
you like that.
To me. Yes. Instead of, I need some other people to improvise with.
Yeah.
Or I need this teacher will say that I'm good enough to graduate. I'm paying money, you know?
Yeah,
there's just a lot of red tape and bureaucracy that stand-up seemed like sink or swim.
Yeah. And so did you just look up mics and
You know, it happened like I was in high school. I was in drama in high school, and then part of it, we had this improv unit. For like 2 weeks, we had an improv teacher come doing like Whose Line Is It Anyway type stuff and kind of things they do at Groundlings. And then I did stand-up. I put together this comedy night, this assembly, and kids came, and I did stand-up on it. I did like 20 or 30 minutes on it, and she was there. And then she was like, oh, you should go to the Comedy Underground in Seattle. My friend does stand-up. You should go there. Do 5 minutes. And she kind of held my hand.
So did you have jokes ready? Or?
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know what the five is that I did, but
yeah.
She basically was an easy way for me to get introduced into that world.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, what would happen if she didn't hold my hand to go to that club for the first time?
Yeah. Well, were you nervous the first time up, or like how was that set for you?
I think my early days of stand-up, sure, there's nerves and stuff like that, but your desire to want your excitement overpowers those nerves. So even though you may have nerves on stage and everything, it's not enough to overshadow your desire to do it and the joy it gives you. I mean, now I'm at a point where I don't really have any nerves. I've been doing it so long.
Yeah.
Like,
how long have you been doing it now?
Like 16, 17 years now.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the longer you do it, you just can't be nervous all the time if you do it, you
for
know, that
living.
Many, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So you just develop your chops and
it's almost like, you know, Van Damme kicking a bamboo tree.
Yeah,
like his shins don't
hurt
anymore.
Yeah,
all the nerve endings are dead.
And I've caught Lance's set as well. I know you've talked to him a few times.
Oh, yeah,
or other
friends.
People know him, but I would like Lance to come here as well.
Oh yeah.
I
I respect his comedy as well.
I think so. Yeah, we attack it in different ways.
Yeah, I know he probably lives from
I think he just lives at chicks that he's having sex with. He just kind of bounces around.
Yeah.
He's kind of a nomad.
Yeah, he's pretty.
He doesn't have a permanent address.
He's smooth. Yeah.
It's just whoever he's having sex with at the time, he just somehow manages.
Yeah, I like his haircut as well. He's got the mullet.
Oh yeah, he's got the mullet.
You've heard about? Okay, sorry. With that being said, we have to do a quick. Sorry, that was good timing, Craig. We have to do a quick read for our sponsor. Our first sponsor, Purple Mattress. So make sure you get a Purple Mattress. That's what I have. It's very comfortable. It's used with a brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. So it's not like your typical memory foam. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's also breathable, meaning that you'll stay cool throughout the night, okay? It's like sleeping on a fluffy cloud. It's very comfortable. So right now you have 100 night risk-free. If you're not, you know, take on it if you want to order one. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund, and it's backed up by a 10-year warranty with free shipping and returns. And right now, exclusively, if you buy a mattress, you'll get a free purple pillow. So make sure you get this down. You text Stebee, Steebee, just like that. You text it to 84888. Again, text Stebee to 84888. Back to Fahim.
I have some ads that I want to. I have some copy.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I want to be a guest who does his own ads. Yeah. Like, look, they're paying me as well. I got to do mine. I hope you guys don't mind. I need underwear.
Yeah. No, it's because going back to your comedy, you have a very unique, you're one of my favorite ones to watch there. Like going to the store, but when I go there, like, I like.
Is it because you've been there so much or what?
I've been there so, just because of, you know, Bobby, I'm sure. My brother.
Yeah.
Like, I was
and
there.
You were there.
I was there when Tommy was there too.
When I was there, Tommy was still there. So yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I did the Sunday, I took a shot at it, did the Sunday raffle as well, and then Craig was there during that time. I did Rock, Paper, Mike.
Oh, okay,
I did the, what's the comic book store that's no longer
Meltdown?
There? I did Meltdown a few times. I was never called out at a good time slot. I was always like, all right, 28, Steve Lee, and then no one was there. And then I opened up for Bob in the Tempe Improv and, like, completely bombed.
Oh.
And it was packed. And I try to do like this cowboy rap thing, you know, the $40 bit, you know, and I was like doing the cowboy rap, and then I didn't even engage the crowd. And I looked up, and then it was like silence, and it was almost like an outer body experience.
Oh, because it's a very unique, it's not a normal thing,
sense of failure. Yeah,
I guess, but in the grand scheme of things,
what are you laughing at, man? Okay.
Yeah, when you're in it, it feels so precious, and this is everything. But you never see those people again in your life. It's really fleeting. It's really nothing in the grand scheme of things.
You have the proper attitude. That's why you're still doing it.
I guess so. Yeah.
It shattered me.
Well, here's the thing.
It shattered my soul. I was like,
here's what you learn about stand-up
comedy.
What
are you laughing at, Craig? It's funny. Okay.
It is funny. Yeah. Like, when you're not the one bombing, it's hilarious. There's nothing funnier than someone you know bombing.
No, but this is what they did. So before I went on stage, I got a bloody nose.
That's a good omen, right?
So, but then, like, the MC had to save me. Like, I was bombing so bad, the guy goes, okay, let's get him off stage here. Okay. And then, like, they took me off. And then, you know, you've been there. You have to walk through the crowd to get to the green room because the green room is at the front of the club.
Oh, okay.
At the Tempe Improv. And I was like trying to justify like myself, like I didn't do too bad, like maybe I didn't bomb in my mind. But then my brother walked in and he's like, dude, I'm proud of you, Steve, but they're running out of time, so you're off the next two shows. You could actually drive home now. So I go,
I got good news, I got bad news. Yeah. You're off the next two shows, but you can drive home
now. So I went to Del Taco, like, depressed, and bought some tacos. But the real reason I found out later that it was really the manager went up to Bob and said, your brother, Yeah, he's
off. That's nice of Bob, though, to be like, look, they're running out of time.
He let me down gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got into it.
But also, it is a big accomplishment, just the fact that you went out there.
You don't have to do
No, no, no,
that.
I will say this. No.
You don't have to do that right now.
I will.
Yeah, okay.
Because so many people, in doing stand-up comedy, people always come up to you afterwards, like audience members, and be like, oh, man, I've been writing some jokes, and like I want to get up, I just can't, and like... They never will. You know what I mean? Like
I tried it for, 6 months? I was doing open mics.
At least let yourself fail. Some people don't even let themselves fail.
It's very painful.
And that's the failure.
Yeah.
Not failing at the thing.
Yeah. I didn't get back on the horse is what the thing. I just said, okay, maybe this is not
for
me.
But that's fine.
Yeah, that's
fine.
I give it a shot.
And I think that's the beauty of stand-up as well. It's like a very, in all the arts... not everything has justice in it. You know what I mean? Like, you can cut around bad performances in acting. There's nepotism. Mm-hmm. There's all this stuff. But with stand-up,
it's live
and it's very... You can't lie funny.
No.
You can't PR funny on stage.
No.
So that's the beauty of stand-up. And if someone's trying to... Like an actor's trying to do stand-up just to like buoy their career somewhat... And they're bombing and shit. Like, it's not a fun experience to constantly bomb. So it weeds out a lot of people who don't have that in them.
That they don't have the real passion.
Yeah,
because
if you act and you're not really doing well, you can continue to do that for like 20 years and be delusional. But if you're eating shit for like a year constantly,
you'll feel it.
No one likes that feeling.
Your soul.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't have that spark in you to do stand up, you're out of the game pretty quick.
I agree.
Because it's not fun.
It's not at all. I don't see how, but so is it a normal thing to bomb?
It depends, and it's circumstantial, and especially in your early years, of course, because you don't really know your voice.
Yeah,
you don't know what's tired and what's unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like throwing spaghetti at a wall. Like you don't get your voice in comedy until you've just done it a while.
Yeah.
Like I know what joke I know my stand up language. I know my point of view. If something happens to me, funny things happen to everybody. But the difference between a comedian and a regular person is just I know the words to convey that thought.
Yeah.
In a way on stage.
Right,
whereas with other people,
right.
It's like this feeling they have and they can't, and they're too verbose because they've had conversations with people, but they don't understand that like you got to have economy of words.
Yeah.
And there's a framework for stand up.
There's timing involved.
Yeah. And this is just shit you learn doing it for years.
Doing it. Right. I respect what you guys it raised the respect factor for what you guys do. I'm like, "Whoa." Cuz people think that I could do that,
bro. I
thought of some stuff like that.
You know what the parallel
too,
is? Here's the thing, like I've always brought this up. This is like a fun way of thinking of it, I think. People see a football player, like a linebacker, they don't do that because they see it.
Oh. But if you're a big guy.
But
if you're
a big
guy and you lift weights.
But the thing is, everybody thinks they can do so. I think more people think they can do stand-up than they think they can be a defensive lineman.
Oh,
and it's because you see
right.
the guy with all the muscles and jacked. You see the work that went into his body. You go, okay.
But
I
you
know,
guys have
I,
muscles too, though.
I know, but they're in here. And
yeah,
people,
their muscles are in here.
Like we've been don't going to the gym and doing all this shit, but it's inside our skull.
It's
but it doesn't look any different.
And they can't see those muscles.
They can't see those muscles, and they don't
know
until they hit the stage.
Oh, that's what.
Because stand up on its surface looks like anybody can do it, and that's
I
the magic
do that
of it.
Were they talking to a mic, dude?
Right. Like, they're like, I've made people laugh before.
Yeah.
I can talk into a
no,
microphone.
No, but it's different.
I can stand up there.
No, it's that context is different because it's kind of like. You're in a position where they're like, all right, I'm at a comedy show, make me laugh. You know, but when you're like funny around your friends, it's different because sometimes
but some people don't even know that difference, though. Some people are delusional where they think it's the same thing.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's,
of course,
there's
we know
a vast,
that.
There's
we
a
know
vast
that.
Difference.
But they don't know until they get up there.
Yeah,
like,
there's a vast difference. Yeah. So have you had friends that said, you know, I'm going to take a shot at it too, Fahim?
Not that I know of, really.
Yeah.
No.
What comedians like did you look up to growing up? Like,
let's see, who
as far
I
as
like?
Your
I mean Gaffigan when I first started
come
out,
up, yeah.
I liked
Gaffigan.
Yeah, and then who else? I liked Chappelle, obviously. Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pablo's album was huge.
Yeah.
Like all those voices and stuff.
He's really energetic, that guy, huh?
Yeah, like Little Tortilla Boy.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
David Cross.
But
I love.
He had crazy voices, like.
Oh yeah, he could
do
everything.
Yeah, he could
do
everything. Yeah. Didn't he have a meltdown, though?
Did he?
I thought he had a meltdown a while ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are the ones that were just... And then Carlos, too. Carlos. Uh-huh. I mean,
I never got into Carlos, but like I know Bobby opened for him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He, my brother Carlos used to bring him on the road.
I know he was the biggest thing for a while. You know.
Yeah, it's just sad what happened. You know, I mean, maybe I could have Carlos come on here and so he could explain his side of the story. I don't know how that would do for my subscribers or anything, or it doesn't matter at that point. But yeah, I don't care. This shows I have musicians. And I have actors, comedians, singers, songwriters. I've had everything.
Yeah.
Skateboarders, surfers. I want surfers, breakdancer, b-boys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I
used to be into breakdancing way back in the day.
Oh, you did?
And it was hard, though, because I grew up in the burbs. And breakdancing is sort of one of those things you learn from other people doing it. It's this organic community. And if you're the only one who breakdances, and I'm trying to learn from internet videos.
Yeah, it's like dancing in front of the
mirror.
It's
so hard. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think with that kind of art form, you have to kind of have be around that energy.
Oh, of course.
To like feed off someone, maybe. I don't know.
And
I
to mean, learn, be like, no, you're doing your wrist wrong.
I have respect what they do. Yeah, it's crazy. But I was going back, like the cowboy bit that I did, I realized later, because I thought
you're like, I'm not giving up on it.
I
finally figured out the angle.
I realized
what I did wrong. Bobby, get Tempe back on the books. It's the Stevie redemption tour.
I realized that bit was a music bit, because when I did it for my Monchi shows, it did well because it was a bit meant for music.
Yeah,
it wasn't made for a comedy.
Yeah.
I was like more
and
like
just,
I'm doing a whole
you just thought people
bar.
Are people.
Yeah, I was like, listen to my cowboy rap.
It's almost like if you were a tuba player and you're like, this normally smashes at the symphony.
why is nobody at a ballet show? Yeah, I'm like, hey, dude.
Why is nobody laughing at my
ballet
tuba
show?
Playing?
They should appreciate it. You know, they appreciate art.
Yeah, crowds are crowds.
So yeah, so you could tell I've thought about
you
this.
You
got
to know
lot.
Your audience.
Yeah, that's you have to know your audience.
Of course.
I didn't know my audience.
Well, that's a lesson you learn even late in stand-up as well.
Like, knowing your audience.
They're older, a crowd. They're not going to like edgier
stuff.
But
how are you supposed to navigate through that? Like, do you scope out like during mic check? Like, you like walk around and look at the crowd, or how do you navigate?
No, I'll kind of know depending on the gig. You know, like even tonight. So
yeah, let's talk about tonight. You were in the OR.
I was in the original room.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What time was your set?
9:15.
Okay, so tell me what information you just told me. What do you know about that?
About the time slot?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of early in the show.
What time does the show start? 8?
8:30 or 8:45?
Okay, that's the opening person.
Yes.
Comic.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think I'm the second or third person going up.
Second.
It's very early in the show.
20-minute sets, 30-minute sets.
15-minute sets.
15-minute sets.
So they've been there for like 30 minutes, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of warm.
And then I go up. Yes, but it's still kind of early.
It's kind of early.
And I'm up there, and then I think I did, I just went off on some tag or whatever. It was kind of dirty or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it didn't really do that well because it was too early in the show.
Oh.
And this is something that I know. Like, later, they've seen a lot. They've been, they're looser.
Mm.
It's more of a hangout energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been drinking a bit.
Yeah.
But earlier, it's a little more uptight, and it's too early for that.
Oh. What's the best possible slot for...
For a stand-up?
No, for the OR specifically.
Let's see.
10:30, 11,
maybe,
I would guess.
Maybe Bobby. Like, between Bobby...
So my brother's got the best spot. My brother's got the best time.
Because he's been there for ages, you know?
Is my brother respected there?
Oh, of course, yeah.
People respect him?
Yeah.
Like, how much... Do they fear him?
I don't know.
Does my brother like
strike fear?
Yeah, does he use his like power? Like,
oh well, the
hey,
way he
bro.
Walks around the hallway, he's like, "Yeah, what's up? What's up, Punjab?" Or like the vehicle, like, Because we're boys and we fuck around. Like, I'm not offended by that, you know? He's like, and then he'll like fake wrestle and stuff. Yeah. And he's like, what'd you say to me?
Yeah. He does that. Yeah. Is he nice to the beginner comics or like open micers? Yeah.
And that's something that he's always done. And I applaud him for it because.
Throughout all the time you've known him.
The entire time I've known him, like taking younger
comics. Is that rare in the comedy scene?
I think it is, yeah.
For someone of that caliber to help.
Yeah, take him out to dinner and stuff and to like help put him on the road. And
my brother does that.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. Yeah. He does that. So not everyone does that.
Not everyone does it.
Hmm. Does Griffin do that? We got to get Eric here.
Just to grill him? Yeah. We heard you don't take care of the young comics.
Well, we'll get him back here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a fit. So how did you, after that bit, how did you move on? You're like, oh, this.
Oh, it wasn't like precious. The thing is, like, when I'm up there now, mm-hmm. I think the difference between starting stand-up and just being 17 years deep in your career mm-hmm. is like, I'm like a helicopter pilot. Like, I've been doing it 17. I know how to fly this thing.
Oh.
I don't need the audience. And like, one of the big components.
So you don't use that as approval. Like, you don't need that
I don't
approval.
Need their approval.
You keep going.
Whether they want to hop on the train or not. And not in a way where I'm not present.
That's good for
But
good
that's the best comedy
that's good for you.
Where people are like, oh, this he guy is comfortable, hair. You know?
Do they? Could they sense that?
Oh, of course. Dude, crowds could have a sixth
feel,
sense.
They
can
feel
it when the comic needs laughs from you.
So they could feel if you're desperate for a laugh.
Yes, if you're up there and you're like, I work today and, you know, when the punchline comes, they know that you need this laugh from them and that you'll kind of crumble and your well-being is dependent on the crowd.
Oh, my God.
And that's not good for comedy.
So you have to.
But like Bobby or any of these like pros at the store or anywhere else.
I've seen my brother get mad though.
Well,
if someone's talking
heckling?
Over. Like if you, not heckling, but if.
Kind of too noisy.
Yeah, like. Or like interrupting the set.
But he'll do it in a pro way. Be like, hey, like, be quiet.
Yeah.
Anyways, or he'll do it in a pro way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you. Because I noticed with your chops, you're. Lance too,
uh-huh.
But you guys are good with crowd work as well.
Yeah.
When did you like acquire
the original room?
How did you
I don't
acquire
think I,
that?
I wasn't that
Not
way.
Everyone does what, that.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I think it's the original room gave me that skill set because Tommy used to put me up so late in the lineup.
So that's good because you could like kind of exercise.
Well, because you learned that nothing matters, you know, and that's great for comedy because I would be performing for like five people who are still there just trying to sober up.
Yeah.
And there's really not a show. There is in the fact that. They're still in the seats, so obviously they want to be there. But it's a very different, there's different stakes than a packed room.
Yeah.
So I could just hang out. I could be a person. I can just talk at the top of my intelligence.
Yeah.
And be a human.
Can you kind of mess around and try new bits?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's
a good
beauty.
Thing.
That's why sometimes if I want to work on new material, I'll ask Adam to put me up later at mm-hmm. night where there's hardly anybody there. Mm-hmm. And then it's less precious.
Is he doing a good job as far as
I love Adam. I think he's doing great. And I think he's a big reason why it's kind of had this renaissance.
Yeah. Now, what's the difference between a set like that where there's five people and they're trying to sober up
uh-huh.
compared to
a packed house
in the main room?
So they're very different.
Where
like
the heavy hitters, D'Elia, brother.
Yeah.
Griffin.
Your bro doesn't
Santino,
love the main room.
Santino.
I mean, I don't love the main room either. Like it's fun, but I love the original room.
Why not?
The original room is kind of...
Cozier?
It's cozier. It's more like a living room. Mm-hmm. It's more nuanced. You kind of get a feel for everybody. There's this energy where it's like...
Oh, you
it's
don't,
intimate.
But you don't like the main room.
Main room's okay, but it's very presentational. It's kind of theatrical.
Oh, because they have that... Even the stage is
The stage,
kind of,
you're like raised up and people are far away.
Yeah.
So subtlety is lost in the main room. You have to be very kind of big.
So... I've heard rumors of other comedians, like because Tripoli was on here as well back in the day. But we're talking about hauntings.
Oh,
there.
Like ghosts and stuff.
Have you experienced any kind of like ghosts?
I myself haven't experienced anything yet.
What are you left?
I know. Yeah, it's a thing they say.
I haven't, not yet. And then, are you working on like when's the first time you started hitting the road, like traveling, opening up for like?
I mean, your bro, like I was doing a few dates with him, so mm-hmm, that was kind mm-hmm. of constant, just popping out.
How far in the comedy circuit were you?
What do you mean? Like how many years?
Like how many?
In,
like 3 to 5 years in, he was like, "Hey, bro, let's go on the road."
Maybe
take you on the road.
I don't know. Let's see. I was because when I moved here, I was living in Long Beach,
mm-hmm.
so it wasn't when I was in Long Beach. I was in Long Beach for like 3.5 years, mm-hmm. maybe 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I had been doing stand-up prior to that in Seattle.
Yeah.
So you're. But of my LA time, maybe like.
Yeah. So how does that work from being an open micer to like getting featured to like hitting the road to like getting passed
you
at the store and then to getting your own special like Amy Schumer special?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
there has to be like a trajectory.
Yeah, there's
right?
trajectories.
So how does that work? Like, or
so, yeah. The genesis is first you do open mics.
Open mics.
Yeah. So okay. you got to sign up. You just got to go
at
all
the
these places.
Shop.
Yeah, yeah.
The
you got to do all these terrible shows.
Yeah, and, tell
works.
About the LA scene. It's not easy.
Oh yeah,
the
yeah.
LA scene's horrible,
LA
isn't
stuff.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. My recommendation would be like
start somewhere else. Maybe?
Start in a smaller market, learn how to get good, then move to a bigger market, and it's starting over again. But at least you know how to write a joke.
Oh.
Just I don't know how people start in LA.
Yeah.
It's like there's just way too oversaturated.
Is there a renaissance as far as like even more comedic, like more people wanting to do comedy?
Because I think now,
because
in
the 90s,
podcasts and
like
stuff,
that,
like
yeah.
I definitely think that more people. Are getting into it now than before, but
mm-hmm.
That's just my feeling. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. Have you seen someone just do open mics, but then that's all they do? They just do open mics, and then 10 years later, they're doing open mics.
Yeah,
15
there are some
years
people,
later,
yeah,
they're doing open mics.
There's delusional people in every form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there are people who just do comedy for, and it depends what their goal is. If it's a hobby, that's cool. Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But if they're like 20 years in of open mics, and they're like,
so
I'm
how
close.
Do you get... how do you get okay so let's stop right there because we have one more ad read. I know it's one more ad read. This one's for a penis pill.
Oh, nice.
So our next sponsor is for Blue Chew. It'll get your penis erect. You just put it in your mouth, chew it and swallow it, and it's good for for masturbation.
Oh.
As well as if you have a girlfriend. So try it out. Go to bluechew.com and use the promo code Stebee, STEEBEE, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And thank you for sponsoring the podcast. With that being said, let's go right back into it. Open mics to...
Oh, the next level?
Features, yeah.
Well, there's some steps in between that. So you're doing open mics, and the next step... is you're doing open mics, but then also you're getting on some booked shows.
That's,
so maybe your friends
that's
or other
when you're
comics,
excited, like, whoa,
a
I'm
little
doing
bit.
A book
it's
show.
A little bit of both, you know? Like, you're not getting enough booked shows to just do nothing but. You still have to do the open mics, but your friend or somebody else will be like, hey, I'm doing this show.
But it gives you hope.
It's just a better show than an open mic.
Yeah.
It's like a real show.
Because I remember even the cats at, because I hit like Rock Paper like every three times a week, but then I noticed some of the comedians, like, they got a better. Like
a better spot.
Yeah, better spot. Yes. They go, yeah, we're going. We're,
part of that
we're at
is,
Melrose.
Yeah, yeah.
On Thursday, bro.
Yeah.
And then everyone else got jealous.
Part
like,
of it is your crew,
how'd
too.
How'd you get that?
Because your friend might be running this open mic.
Yeah.
They like the friends come in
and
they have the good spots.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then maybe this other friend's running this show, so they kind of barter spots. Like,
oh.
I'll put you on my book show if you put me on your book show.
Oh, that's how it works. And this is no one's getting paid yet. You're not
no
getting
paid really getting
at all.
Paid. Yeah, it's not about
when
money.
When do you start getting paid?
So late in. Yeah.
How late in the game? How late in the game do you start making money?
I mean, in a smaller market, maybe 2 or 3 years in, you'll get. Start getting paid?
And then how much money are we talking?
Not a lot. Maybe like $50 to MC or something. Just like little things here or there.
But $50 a show? I mean, $50 a show to MC?
I don't know. It's been so long. I don't.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So you're...
For featuring, like if you're featuring at a legit comedy club,
yeah,
features get between 50 to 75 a show.
Okay.
And if you're doing 4 or 5 shows for the weekend.
Okay. So you have to really grind.
So that's not bad, I guess,
yeah.
But like you're breaking even if you're flying to the place.
Yeah. What about like the Vegas market? Don't they have like a whole? Because I remember
that's
Pauly,
a whole different thing.
Pauly used to bring Bob to Vegas.
To Vegas.
Yeah, Carlos did too. My brother would go to Harrah's Casino and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Vegas, you got to be there the whole week, or at least just you
from
know the Tropicana or the Improv or.
So that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Something like that.
Oh
yeah.
God.
And I just don't want to be in. And you get the same money as you would doing a weekend somewhere else.
Oh my
but you're
God.
In Vegas for the whole week.
For the whole week.
And I don't know if I want to be in Vegas for a
yeah.
week.
Okay. It's fair enough. Fair
well,
enough.
It just depends on
yeah,
like what type
yeah.
of person you are, you know?
So how did it happen for you? So when did
okay,
you
Okay, so hold
from,
on. There's more
yeah,
stuff. So,
okay.
All right. So now you're doing some book shows and
mm-hmm.
you're doing some open mics. And then maybe you get passed at a club or something.
Yeah.
And then they'll start throwing you up. Maybe you get to be a feature there, like when a big name comes around or something.
Define a feature. What's a feature?
A feature is someone who opens for the headliner. So they do 20 to 25 minutes.
Mm, okay.
Right? So that's people like what I would do for Bobby or something.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, and it's different in a smaller market compared to L.A. Like, obviously, if you get past the Comedy Store, that's a bigger thing then.
But that's a big deal because a feature, you said 20 minutes?
Yeah, 20 minutes to 25 minutes.
But in order to even get to that point, you'd have to already have years under your belt to get that material,
yeah, it would
right?
probably take like four or five years to get to a feature.
5 years.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a tough racket, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to pay your dues, huh? Like,
yeah, you have to really enjoy
it.
Yeah,
you have to enjoy it.
But the thing about stand-up is like everyone wants it yesterday. But it's such a long process, and you just have to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so because it seemed like because obviously you passed that as well. So like, what level are you at as a comedian now? Like, aren't you on shows? Like, yeah. Don't you have a Hulu thing? I saw you on a Hulu.
It was a Comedy Central sketch show.
Yeah,
yeah. It was called Goat Face, and we're waiting to see if they're going to turn it into a series.
Like, dude, that's great.
Thanks. I mean, yeah. I hope we get to have
so
it
let's,
be a
let's
show.
Plug that right now.
All right. Yeah, yeah. It's called Goat Face.
Look at the cameras.
If you have Comedy Central, it's on demand for free. I think it's on Amazon for like $3 if you want to rent it. It's called Goat Face. I have a one-hour stand-up special called There's No Business Like Show
Business.
Wait,
say it again.
I have a one-hour stand-up special?
Yes.
I do, yeah.
Well, how can people watch it?
If you have Amazon Prime, it's
Amazon
free.
Amazon Prime.
Or if you go to my Instagram, at Fahim Anwar, I put the link to it. That's free. That's on the Comedy Central site.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude,
thank you, man.
That's amazing. Hey, when's my brother going to get a special, man?
It's up to him. I asked him. I'm like, how come you don't?
He should have like
He's like,
a
oh, I don't want to do them,
no,
but I think he's working on one now.
Man.
He should have one for sure.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's ready, right?
I think he could have put one out for like a while ago, but he's just chosen not to.
He's got to do one.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
He's
I think he knows now.
One. Yeah, yeah. So like how did you, okay, you have a special out. You record it. Where'd you record it?
I recorded it at the Alex Theater in Glendale.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you chose that specific location?
Yeah, they had to, I went like theater shopping just to look around at some of them, mm-hmm, and the Alex was pretty cool.
Yeah. What is the process like preparing for such a...
For a special?
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll have these bits, and I'll have these spots around town, and I'll have all these jokes, and I have an hour's worth of material, but then you have to figure out how they string together. Mm. Because 15-minute set or a 10-minute set is very different than an hour.
They're like chunks.
They're chunks. Yeah, you got to figure out how the Lego pieces fit together.
Oh, it's like Tetris.
Yes.
Know.
Yeah, it is like Tetris.
Yeah, you got to
connect
it.
So I had my people line up some headlining gigs. So I would have a few weekends
to practice,
and I would just get to like play around with the hour. Like, oh, let me put this here. Let me take this out.
Yeah.
And really refine it.
Yeah.
And then once towards the end of the, you know, my bookings and stuff, I'm like, okay, I've got it in a good place. Let's film it.
Yeah. Now I always wondered this when we're seeing the end product. Do you ever mess up during like when you're recording? Could they edit that out?
Yeah. I mean, most stand-up specials, you film two shows. You have an early show,
oh,
you have a late show.
Oh, so you
so
can
you
mess
cut
up
between
once.
The two. Yeah. So if you didn't get it in the one, oh. But they're not huge fuck-ups. Like,
yeah. What if you bomb both times? What if you mess up both times?
Yeah, then you're... Then
you have to do an empty stage and pretend like...
No, then you have to put out that special if you bomb. Like.
So is that intermise? I know this is a horrible way.
No, not really. You know why?
No, I'm sure people have thought of this.
Like the, oh, so much pressure. I don't. I look at it as a celebration of all the work and material that you've done because they're on your side. They know it's your special. It's a taping. It's more of like, it's such a stacked deck.
It's a big deal, bro.
Yeah, it's not because, you know what's hard?
What?
Doing random shows where nobody knows who you are.
No, this is your...
This is your special.
It's like your album.
Yeah.
It's like
everyone wants
or...
you to win.
Yeah.
So it's not like this, oh no. You should be like, all right, let's celebrate.
Dude, that's such a good thing you did, man. You should be proud of that.
I
like,
am,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple things, you know, career-wise, and it's fun checking them off.
How come comedians don't put out, you know how like Richard Pryor,
albums?
Like Steve Martin, yeah, they used to put out like music infused with comedy. How come people don't do that anymore?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
I think that's a good idea, yeah, for sure.
I think Jeremiah was talking about
doing
that.
To do
yeah, because
like
he does music too, but I don't know, I just thought of that.
Yeah.
So what's the next, what's in store for the future? I mean, are you going to work on your second special?
Yeah,
now
I'm trying to get some weekends to do, because I have another hour. Mm. I'm trying to figure out.
You have a brand new hour,
yeah. Because I shot that thing two years ago.
Yeah.
I want to find a home for this new hour.
Yeah.
Right now I'm trying to get it tight, so do some weekends, and then figure out where to put it. And then also see what's going on with the sketch show, because I love sketch.
Yeah.
Hopefully Goatface gets to make more of them.
Yeah.
And just doing spots around town and keeping sharp.
Where? So what are your how are your folks, like, are they supportive of your career now? Like, how was that trajectory as far as...
Better
like,
now.
From,
I mean,
the, from like, the beginning to now.
Beginning was, like, not easy. It was like I was doing heroin or something. Yeah. Like, me doing... For real. Like,
oh my God.
My mom... I would come back from the club. My mom would be in her nightgown and be like, your father's worried about you.
Yeah.
And all I was doing is just like an open mic.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting good grades and everything, which is like, he's worried about you, that you're going to like throw your life
background?
Away.
I never asked you, what's your ethnicity?
My parents are from Afghanistan.
Okay. Yeah, and so they're like really strict about like studying.
I think there's just not a huge stand-up scene in Afghanistan, so they don't contrary to common belief, yeah. There's
what
not
do they
a
want you to do again?
Doctor, lawyer, yeah, engineer. I mean, yeah,
but
I did
engineering. What makes you happy?
True, yeah, but you're asking a question that Middle Eastern parents don't ask their kids. Happiness has
no merit.
Factor.
Yeah, there's no merit in it. Yeah.
What does happiness have to do with anything?
It's all about
money and what will people think
money,
and the family
they
name.
They need money. They want to know you're doing money, getting money.
Money, and then also there's like a track that everyone's supposed to be on. And if you deviate from that, it's like hit the red button, you know?
Yeah.
You should go
to
college. You should get a wife. You should have a house. You should have this car by now.
Yeah,
and maybe you don't want that.
Yeah. But they should know now. It's like, dude, you just have your own special. It's on a network.
Yeah, it's getting better. Everyone's cool. Like, my mom's cool with it.
Come on, dude.
My dad is still holding out a little bit. He just understands money.
How is that possible?
Because I still
live. But you are making money, Fahim.
I am. But he wants, like, I don't know, more money. Like a nice house.
See, I don't agree with that, though. That's not going to
necessarily bring you... Sure, but we're cut from a different cloth.
Yeah, I mean, Asian parents are like the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Harvard or Stanford.
It's like the same thing.
It's the same thing.
That's what's like so great about you and Bobby is like, it's almost the same thing. You're on a different level than me.
What are you talking about as far as strictness?
No. Like how much you bucked the traditional trend. I went a little bit. Like, I feel like I'm rebellious in here.
Yeah, we did drugs. Yeah. I spent 7 years at ASU. I don't even know what I was doing.
Hilarious.
I was skateboarding
the whole
campus.
Time.
Yeah.
Like they handed you a piece of paper at the end of your trip. You're like, whoa.
I have no idea.
They
actually had to create...
You tried to roll something with it?
No, they had to create like this section for people like me. Like, well, you can get a degree in this. I don't know. Like, I was taking random classes. I wasn't even taking the right classes. And I went to the one of the counselors on campus, and they go, yeah, interdisciplinary studies, you could do that. I mean, that'll get you out next year. And I was already in like 6-7 years.
Uh-huh.
I almost lived in every dorm on campus. Yeah.
Like that was your
goal? I was arrested by the cops. Like they took my skateboard. Yeah. I like got into some bad stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I wish Brody was still here because I could talk to him about Arizona State.
Yeah. Every time we see you, we'd be like, yes, ASU. He gets it.
Yeah. I worked at the Tempe Improv.
Oh, you did?
I was a food runner.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I remember the night I got fired. It was Sean Waynes was performing. Okay. And I remember I was in my Tempe Improv, yeah. You know, like my outfit, yeah. Like whatever, my waiter outfit or whatever. And I try to like bro down with him. And he was just like...
What, in the green room or
no,
what?
No, there was like, I don't know how it's set up back there, but like there's a stage, but in the very...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Back there's like the bar, and then there's like the checkered flooring, like there's flooring. And then I would, because the kitchen was near there.
Okay.
So I would wait for the next food order. But then I'd like try to like, like bro down with him. I'm like, living color, bro. And he was like, hell out of here. Like, who are you? I felt like an idiot.
Just off of that?
Yeah. He was just like.
But all you got out was in Living Color, bro?
I was like, Living Color, bro. Dude, I love that show, bro. And then he was just like, what the hell? But this is what happened. This is how I got, you know how I got fired?
No.
So I had to bring out food, like, in between the shows. Like super nachos or whatever, mozzarella cheese
sure,
sticks.
Yeah.
And it's dark in there, and each table's numbered. And this one table ordered super nachos, but they didn't want green onions. This blonde, I was a food runner, but there's waiters and the real waiters and waitresses. Uh-huh. I was just the guy that, like, carried the tray filled with eight plates, you know? And then I just told her, I go, because I caught her, like, in the hallway, and I go, let's say her name was Tanya. I forgot her name.
Because you want to protect her.
I want to protect her, yeah. I go, can you make sure, Tanya, that you put no green onions on the order? Because they sent the plate back. And she goes, is that so? And then I didn't know she was dating the manager there. She reported me to the manager. And he goes, clean out your locker, dude. You're fired. And I'm like, what, really? And I just remember, like, going back, skateboarding back, like, crying, like, aww, back to my dorm, like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're like, my life is over.
I'm never getting a job.
How will anything top this?
And then I start working at P.F. Chang's. So.
Things were fine.
Yeah.
But I don't get it. So why was...
I gave her attitude.
It attitude, or were you trying to be helpful?
Well, I probably had attitude. I probably didn't say it in that nice of tone. Yeah. Because
you're retelling. Yeah.
Okay. So I probably said, can you make sure to say no green onions next time? Because, like, it was really, you know, please. And she's like, oh, okay. Is that so? So that was more like it.
I see. But also, she's having sex with the manager, so
exactly.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
You don't know how connected she was.
I remember, I love the Wayans brothers, by the way.
Yeah.
Damon's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's like one of my all time, like, I love.
Oh, I love the Living Color too,
man.
That was huge for me.
I mean, huge, huge. But so I'm a fan of the Wayans. I was just like, you know,
I mean, you didn't get fired over that, the in Living Color, bro, right?
No, because I was trying to bro down with him.
Sure.
I was being, fanning
nothing.
Out.
That's nothing.
Yeah. I still feel dumb
going
up to him. I had no right. I was,
but everyone's
just
different.
Take out the food.
Some people
and
are like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So Tempe Improv, I apologize. I want to make amends to you guys. I didn't mean to talk to the waitress that way.
Yeah.
So this was like in 1990.
Were you on your best behavior at P.F. Chang?
I got fired there too. Yeah.
Like,
I got
fired
a lot.
She was also fucking
the
manager of P.F. Chang.
I got fired
a lot. What is it with all that? I got to get in the management, food management.
Have you heard of Circle K?
Circle K, for sure.
I worked there night shift.
Oh.
So I would like do
you must have seen some things.
Oh, yeah. I lived off the hot dogs there.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so. And I would do like little deals there where I let people do beer runs. And I would just like turn the other way, like they're not there, and then they would drop off like a bag of weed. I just make sure you drop it over here. So they would come in and like literally take like an 18 pack, and I would just turn my back, like I didn't see them, but they're like, you know, it was like a little drug deal.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and there used to be a policy if like you dropped a beer from a six pack, you'd have to bring it into like a Tupperware bin in the back office, but there was just like warm beers there.
Uh-huh.
So I would like wait till the manager was gone and I would just take all of those, like, so I'd have a Red Stripe, I'd have Budweiser's, I'd have Mickey's, and I would just have a backpack filled with beer.
Like your beer Santa?
Yeah, beer Santa, yeah. Yeah, so those are my Arizona stories. How are we doing on time? We doing pretty good?
Is it an hour?
Did
you get fired from the Circle K or did you keep that job?
Yes, I got fired, but I was wrongly accused.
Oh, really?
I was like, this is, you want to hear that story?
You've got the wrong man.
Yeah. So you could do money orders there.
Okay.
You know, like if you want, you need to pay your rent, you could, the Circle K could do a money order. So someone there, not me, took out like 15, like they did it through a span of time, but like $15,000 was missing. Mm-hmm. And then they blame me, and then my roommate, his name was, I think, Fern or something. He was weird, by the way. This guy ended up living with me because my other roommate couldn't stand living with me.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, dude, I need a roommate. And he's just,
you know what's hilarious? He's like, this guy was weird. My other roommate couldn't stand living with me. Well, this guy was a real weirdo.
So this Fern character, I remember, he didn't have a bed.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have
a purple mattress?
He didn't have a purple mattress.
Oh,
no,
fuck,
he should have had a purple mattress.
He should have.
Go to purple mattress.
He wouldn't be
Do
weird
that. Put
if
that code
he
in
did.
There. Stevie, put the code in there. I was just curious because he was like, he wasn't coming out of his room, and I like just like kind of like opened his door. He was sleeping butt naked. Just with a towel.
A towel?
Wrapped around him. Yeah, but like I could just see like his like butt was sticking out and he was naked just in the middle of the room. And I'm just like, oh dude, this is not good. Yeah. He was a weird cat. Yeah. Yeah, so
I mean, at least you have a mattress, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, purple mattress. Go get your purple mattress. How are we doing on time? We doing good? We have 10 minutes? Okay, let's talk more about you in the future. Like,
ooh,
so your second comedy special is coming. You're working on that.
Working on it, material
wise.
What's
your ultimate
goal?
End game.
Yeah. Write, direct, act in my own stuff. Like Ricky Gervais, Larry David. Like I love those
dude,
guys.
Dude, Jordan's killing it.
Oh yeah.
Shout out to Jordan Peele, dude. Dude,
and
he's
I love Key and Peele too. Like they're so good on Key and Peele, and then to take it another level.
No, but I met them back during
the
Mad
TV
days.
Oh, I'm sure
it's
Mad TV
days.
Wow.
Because I did those Kenneth the tank sketches, and that's when I met Keegan through that too. And then Jordan didn't even have a car back then, so I would see him in the neighborhood, like at the Hawaiian barbecue place.
Uh-huh.
He would just walk around.
Wow.
He didn't have a car. He would walk to Mad TV and
that's
everything.
That's the beauty of
so
of
he's
Hollywood.
Like,
just. People will be going through strife, and then they're the biggest thing ever. And it's not like this ramp. Everything's kind of a step function.
Yeah.
You'll be like, oh, man, my life sucks. Or, it's not going to work out for me. And then, boom, you get something. I mean, it's not always the case, but, you know, sometimes it is. And that's the beauty of Hollywood. It's like a lot of lotto tickets.
Dude, he's making movies now.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to watch Us?
Of course.
Dude, that's coming out, on Friday? I heard that's better than
Get
Out. I heard I'm hearing it's getting good reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wrote, directed everything. Like, so I just can't believe it. It's just a trip. Cause he's like one of us. He's like a gamer. He's like, he got my brother into Morrowind and all these RPGs. He's like a video gamer.
Uh huh.
And like now he's like
the biggest
boom.
Thing.
Yeah. So it could happen.
Yeah. It's inspiring. Just, no one knows you can do a thing until you do it. Right? Because before Get Out, no one was really, he had to like grab that.
But Key and Peele, he was blowing up.
Sure. Yeah. But there's a difference between even like Bradley Cooper and Star is Born or Lady Gaga.
That was a good movie, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it too.
Yeah, I liked it.
But it's one of those things where like no one thinks you could do the thing until you do it. And then when you do it and you pull it off, then you're the guy who does the thing.
Yeah.
And they give you, you know what I mean? But like that's what I've learned about this town is no one assumes that you can do the thing you want. You have to show people.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's like, I bet this guy can do it. And if they are, it's just monkeys picking stocks.
Right. What are you laughing at?
What was the first show?
What do you mean the first show?
Goatface?
No, before that.
Oh, weren't you on Disaster Day?
Oh, yeah. That MTV.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. That's what you're
that's
waiting
hilarious.
For? Yeah, he brought that up.
Oh, hilarious.
He goes, ask about Disaster Day.
You know, that's the gig that I had to quit Boeing for because they needed me for 3 months.
You work for Boeing?
Yeah, I worked for Boeing.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I was an engineer for like 3.5
wow.
years.
Wow. That's crazy.
Well,
because
I went to school for it, and
yeah.
that's what got me to Long Beach. I was like, I was just applying to jobs in Southern California to get me out
here.
You'd
be an engineer right now.
I could, but like I didn't want, like my heart was never in it. It was always a means
to
an end. I think
you'd be miserable.
I would.
That. You'd make a lot of money.
I'd be okay, but the ceiling is kind of like, I know what my life would be if I did engineering.
Yeah.
My heart's not in it. I'd be in a cubicle. It was just, I was doing that so that I could be here tonight, guys.
Dude, you made the right decisions.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, dude? Stevie Weeby Show's.
Come on, I'm doing sparkling
Stevie
water.
Stevie Weeby Show's still alive.
I don't do
Arrowhead
flat water
sparkling
anymore.
Sparkling water, yeah. So, man, I think you could do whatever you want. I mean, you're already on the right trajectory, man. You
Thanks,
know?
Yeah. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. It's hard when you first start stand-up because it's such a process.
Yeah. Margaret Cho was here a few weeks ago, and because she's done specials on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the premier network to do?
I think the two.
Because I look at, that's classic, right?
I think
HBO.
So. I think Netflix and HBO are the top two tiers right now.
Yeah. How do you get an HBO?
I don't know. Like, there's gatekeepers with everything, you know?
Yeah.
And also, here's one thing to realize as a comic and just any artist as well. There are these things you pine for and you want to get on it. But at the end of the day, there is a human being who has that job. And all it's just that person's taste. So if you don't get what you want, it's not because you're not worthy or your art isn't good. It's just because this human being with this brain has particular taste. And you don't happen to fall into that.
Oh, and they're the gatekeeper.
They're the gate. It's a human being, like some guy who went to Nebraska and he climbs the ranks.
Yeah.
And whatever his comedy taste is,
it might not fit yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's
they need
not,
more gatekeepers then, not just that guy from Nebraska.
Well, there's different outlets. So you just kind of learn, like, all right, if I'm hitting a dead end here, let me find another way in. Or
right.
Instead of waiting for this thing
that
will
never happen.
Yeah,
but with technology, can you kind of go navigate
now it's exciting.
Around that?
Yeah, now there's Instagram, there's YouTube.
Yeah, you could promote yourself. Mm-hmm.
Even podcasting, you don't need these people to tell you to do things that you know you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's this, very... I don't know what I'm doing.
But that's the beauty
of
it.
We made 100 episodes.
Sure.
Oh, we made it past 100.
Yeah, but back in the day, you would need to get on Clear Channel. And
no,
you would,
yeah.
You know, you have to get hired as a radio personality. But now it's a very exciting time to be in art and the internet. There's this explosion of information. And as a creator and even as a consumer, you can just find all this great stuff.
And with technology, I'm sure, because I know video games are changing with the Oculus and then all that. What about seeing comedy specials with the Oculus on?
You know, that might be a thing.
You know, that movie, The King of Comedy, with Robert De Niro. You know, it's kind of like he, like, pretended that he was talking to that crowd and stuff, but it's like an Oculus where you have, like, a virtual crowd. I don't know.
I think they're trying to do
that. I'm trying to work through this right now. I don't know. I'm just coming up with this.
I think it'll be a thing.
You think so?
Oh, concerts and,
so you could perform in your own apartment. So, anyway.
Well, I've always thought about that. Like, sometimes you'll get hired to do these college gigs or something. And literally, you're getting paid. The show is almost the least of your time. You're getting paid just to transport your body to this location.
To, like, Colorado.
Sure. Because the show's, like, what, an hour? But the traveling, the hotel,
it's
and all that.
It's time-consuming.
That's what you're getting paid for.
Yeah.
Not really the show.
So
imagine if you could just, like, throw on some hologram, and you're like, what's up, kids?
And they could be in, like a rec hall or, like, a multi-purpose, like, a college room. And they could just be looking, and you could
I think it'd be so dope. If
you could perform, and they're watching you perform. You're in your bathroom or whatever, and you're doing your jokes.
You just put on this ping pong ball suit, and you do your set, and then they Venmo you money, and then you just go back to bed.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think the future will be that convenient?
Let's pray.
Dude, that's good for you.
I mean, comedians are already lazy. That would be dangerously lazy.
So, like, you have, like, Triple Ear.
Wouldn't even leave the house.
Back,
just Postmates,
so anyway,
ping pong ball suit.
I thought about reptilians, and then they're just doing their set, like, on their back, and then, boom, they check their phone. Oh, $1,800.
Yeah, you don't have to take a shower because your hologram is already looking good.
Man, amazing. So that was, it's been fun, man. So the future, so look out for, so now's the time. Let's
maybe I should do a hologram special for my next one.
Yeah, we should do that. And if you get, whenever you see Lance, because I know Lance is busy.
He is,
but if you happen to bump into Lance, I'd like Lance on the Stevie Weeby show.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure he'd love
it. I know he's hard to catch.
He's very elusive.
He's very elusive.
He's a hard guy.
Yeah, so I know I'd rather go through you because
I haven't met
Lance in person. I've seen him perform like three times.
He's a bit standoffish. Yeah. He doesn't let everyone into
his life.
His
crowd work's amazing.
His crowd work is
His energy's
top-notch.
Amazing. So Lance, I'm just saying this now. Lance, if you're watching, we would love you on the Stevie Weeby show, okay?
Yeah.
What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is at Fahim Anwar, FAHIMANWAR.
Say that again.
What, the letters?
Yeah,
Fahim Anwar, FAHIMANWAR.
Uh-huh.
And then, same on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a podcast called Fahim Anwar Dance Hour.
Oh, I'd like to check that out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Check it out, yeah.
Well, do you have to dance on it?
No, it's funny that it's called that. I always play a song I like. A newer song I like at the beginning and a song I like at the end. But in between, it's just me and my buddy, Ali Baluch, and we just shoot the shit.
Oh, so it's just you two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How do they check that out?
Just iTunes and like Spotify, anywhere you get podcasts.
Say the name of the podcast.
Fahim Anwar Dance Hour.
Fahim Anwar
Dance Hour.
Where can these folks check out your comedy special that's out now?
Okay, so the 1 hour stand-up special is on Amazon Prime for free. And then also, if you go to Comedy Central or cc.com/Fahim Anwar, it takes you to my special. It's
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Up there for free too, if you don't have Prime. And then check out Goat Face, which is a one-hour sketch special.
Whoa.
That I was head writer on it. I'm in it. Hassan Minhaj, he's my boy. He's in it too.
Yeah.
My two other friends are in it. And that's on Comedy Central. Or you can rent it for like $3.
That's what's up.
Thank you. Dude, I'm no you Sean gotta, Wayne. You gotta, yeah. I give you a dab.
Yeah. You got a lot going on. That's
kind
like,
of,
you
I guess.
Named off 10 things.
I did, yeah.
So did we cover all that?
I think we covered all the social, where to find me, and all the projects and stuff.
What about future road dates?
Road dates. What I'm doing, Irvine Improv.
When?
March 30th. Just one night. It's a Saturday.
March. Well, no. Let's get that out
all
there.
Right.
March.
All right, yeah.
This will be out. So this will be out next. Is it next week? This will be out next week.
Oh, cool. All right.
So this. So people who watch this, they'll be able to get tickets, right?
Yeah.
So how can people get tickets to watch you perform live?
Irvine, if you do a Google search, maybe it's like, or Irvine Improv. So I'll be at the Irvine Improv March 30th at 9:30 p.m. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have a deal. You can get on the guest list, so it might be free tickets even.
So March 30th, go to the Irvine Improv.
Yes.
And support my man here.
Thank
Watch
you.
Him do his comedy.
Yeah, you'll see the hour before I get to do it anywhere else.
Or, please support that. If you're in California or like Orange County, is that in Orange County?
Yeah, OC.
If you're in the OC...
Check
go to
it
the
out.
Go to the Irvine Improv, okay, dude. That was awesome. We
Thank
gotta do
you.
A part two. We need Lance on here.
Oh, yeah,
thanks, guys. I gotta do a little shout out to. I have a Patreon. If you want to support the show, please go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. Okay. If you want to send anything physical, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, PO Box 1391, LA, California 90093. I have packages now, but I'm going to do a separate vlog just to make more content, and I'll post that. I have like there's so many boxes there, so I'm going to do that, so I'm not forgetting you guys. I'm going to do that on a separate vlog. I have stevieweebybandcamp.com. go check out some of those albums, support some of those albums. patreon.com/stevieweeby if you want to follow the show. Instagram/QUANGOU. Another shout out to Purple as well as Blue Chew. Make sure you check that out, okay? And there's no Little Ray's World. Little Ray will be back next week, okay? Thanks again, brother.
Thank you for having
tell
me.
Tell Lance I said hi.
I'll
as
tell
well.
Him what's up.
Okay.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.